Was this decrease, as reported by the Energy Information Agency, a surprise to you as someone who reports on the coal industry?
Actually, it was not. First, I mean, you have what's kind of shaped up to be a terrible market for coal all the way around. Natural gas prices and a persistent trend kind of moving away from coal use in the U.S. has really limited the use of coal across the nation. So now when you also zoom into the state-by-state and regional trends we've been watching for a while, you can kind of see that West Virginia, Kentucky, and more broadly Central Appalachia has really kind of bore the brunt of the production and employment decline. It just so happens these happen to be the regions where mountaintop removal has been more frequently conducted. It's also important to note that that does not mean, you know, surface mining in general has declined as rapidly. Surface mining, mountaintop removal, not necessarily the same thing. Surface mining has only fallen by about 21% since 2008 compared to the 62% drop that we're looking at in mountaintop removal. And surface mining has its own detractors. You know, there's an argument out there that it poses similar health and environmental risks. Some of those techniques just haven't reached the same level of scrutiny. But for an example, why this may not have been a surprise, look at the highly controversial spruce mine permit that Arch Coal was hoping to build in Logan County. They got the initial go-ahead from the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers, but ultimately the U.S. EPA stepped in and they just believed that there's going to be too much damage caused by this mine, and they decided to exercise a veto, which is something they haven't used much before. And while that litigation continues, so far the industry has not had much luck in getting that permit moving forward.
Is the industry's reaction to this news pretty predictable? Too many regulations, too many rules?
Definitely. And I don't believe that they were really surprised by this either. They've known for a while that this was coming out. I mean, they've been trying to get these permits. They're not able to get them. And then, of course, you know, they've been subject to all this litigation. Of course, the idea that, you know, that I think many of them have come to accept that the coal industry is probably not going to spring back to the way it was. And, of course, they're realistic about natural gas being a problem. But, I mean, I think that they've just gotten such a kind of faced regulatory fatigue to the point that this is kind of probably not much news for them.
What role, if any, has the environmental community and the efforts against mountaintop removal mining had on this decline?
Yeah, so I think environmentalists have played a very large role in the patterns we're seeing around mountaintop removal. And while I don't think they may not always be quick to take credit for some developments in the industry, I think this is one where they are stepping up and saying that they believe that they've had a role in this. Look at a company like Patriot Coal. During their first bankruptcy, environmental groups were able to leverage a court win over selenium pollution into a settlement in which the Patriot decided they would back off mountaintop removal in exchange for a delay on costly selenium cleanup. At the time, the Patriot CEO, Ben Hatfield, you know, said that's an area we were planning to exit in our business anyway. He said that the regulatory resistance and the volatility in trying to predict when you could start your mine, whether you can continue your mine, and what was going to happen with that permit was just so great that coal companies didn't really want to participate anymore. Even Alpha Natural Resources in their annual reports were saying, you know, when we did mountaintop removal, we tried to restore the land as best as possible, but they say that they didn't do any in 2014, and they have no plans to do so in 2015. I think these court cases in which environmentalists have been able to win major settlements on selenium or conductivity has not only made mountaintop removal just a really expensive proposition, but really a risky one.
But even with this decrease, there's still plenty of coal coming from mountaintop removal mines, isn't there?
There is. And, of course, it's not the largest part of our coal production. If you look at the information released from the EIA yesterday, we're looking at just over 20 million tons of mountaintop removal coal produced in 2014 in Central Appalachia. Most of that is in West Virginia. But if you look at other EIA data, you can see over the past couple of years, countries produced just shy of a billion tons of coal. And their data browser right now says that, you know, 57 million tons were produced from all surface mining coal operations in Central Appalachia in 2013, while about 70 million tons came from underground mines. So in other words, you know, the underground mining and other forms of surface mining produce more coal than mountaintop removal mines. I mean, we're talking about 30 or so mines here that are producing a very large chunk of coal from the Central Appalachia region.
In your online article on SNL.com, you write about the new stream protection rule that's coming out this summer. Review for us what this rule entails.
Right. And so at the moment, it's really difficult to know exactly what that rule is going to entail in its final form. It's currently undergoing a review process at the White House's Office of Management and Budget. The rule basically kind of governs the buffer zone around a stream where mining companies are allowed to either dig or dump excess rock and dirt. A 1983 version of the rule was weakened by the Bush administration in 2008, making it a little bit more easy for mining companies to mine near these streams. And now that they're doing a rewrite, it's not clear how stringent that new rule might be. Most in the industry, of course, given their experience with the administration so far, are suspecting the rule is going to probably put limits on where they can mine and possibly even neutralize the ability for them to mine on new reserves. Those suspicions are probably heightened by some news we've heard that the coal mining states who were cooperating to write the rule were basically denied access to most of the rulemaking process. They've told us that despite OSM saying that they were going to be a part of the rulemaking process, they've kind of not been contacted or they were given too short deadlines. And then, of course, on the other hand, you know, I've talked to environmentalist sources who are saying, you know, they're hearing from government officials that this rule probably won't be liked by them either. So we're going to have to wait to see exactly how that rule shakes out. It was we kind of expected that to come out this month. So hopefully we'll see something soon. Another very similar rule to that one, we're looking at EPA is trying to clarify their jurisdiction on which bodies of water they can regulate. We see the rules out there, and they say that it's a very small effect, but the industry is, you know, kind of waiting around to see exactly how EPA is going to interpret that rule and how that might play out in practice and how it will affect coal mining.
You're talking about the waters of the United States rule?
That's correct.
Well, whatever rule comes out, lawsuits will ensue, don't you expect?
Oh, I definitely believe so. I think you're really seeing kind of an environmentalist movement that's been uplifted by the progress that they've seen recently, and I don't think they're going to take their foot off the gas. This news with the mountaintop removal, even though you've seen a sharp decline, I mean 62%, many of the groups that we're talking to say, you know, that's still not nearly enough, and they're not going to slow down.
Taylor Kirkendall, coal reporter for SNL Energy in Charlottesville, Virginia. Thank you very much.
Great. Thank you very much. Appreciate being on.